Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Like Brett just said, I'm our youth and worship ministries director here. So I will do my best to try and keep my sound effects to a level that's a little bit more adult and keep my stories, you know, anyway. So this morning I want to talk about doing hard things. I want to talk about doing uncomfortable things and things that are difficult. See, I believe God wants to bring us into a freedom more unhindered than we could ever have thought of. A freedom more unhindered and alive than we could have ever imagined. But in order to do that, sometimes we have to go through some muck. In order to do that, sometimes we've got to go down roads that are a bit bumpy or rocky. Have you ever noticed in every great story, the hero at some point has to face the evil, right? It's kind of like, that's what makes the story the story, is when you finally get to the final scene. One of my favorite movies is The Lord of the Rings. Do you have any Lord of the Rings fans? Come on, I mean, come on, my people, yes. I love, one of my favorite parts in The Fellowship of the Ring is when they're running through the mines of Moria, and Gandalf is behind everyone saying, go, go, get across this bridge, and the Balrog is coming after him, and he turns, and what's he do? He comes, he grabs his staff, and he goes, you shall not pass, and he, like, stands there and all that. That is a moment, you know what I'm saying? Like, whoo, you shall not pass, no way, stop sign, no going, no more. I love that. Or how about in Rocky, where he has to come and face Ivan Drago, and he comes to the ring, and he puts his gloves out, and I can't remember if it's the first fight or the second fight, sticks his gloves out, and he hits his gloves, and just goes, poof. I, for one, I did some boxing in high school. If I had a man that giant come and punch my hands and swing them behind me like that, I'd probably just go, okay, I'm going to go sit down. This one's yours, buddy. You're way too tall to fight. Or how about more recently, the Avengers, and in Marvel movies, the Avengers, this age, Thanos, with Thanos, and they have to come, and they all come in together to defeat Thanos in Wakanda. There's this moment in every good story where the hero or the heroes have to come and face the shadow that has been affecting their world. And see, this morning, I want to tell you that you can be a hero in your story. That you can be a hero in your story. And I understand, I know we're at church, Jesus is the true hero. I believe that. 100%, you're right. But I also believe that he calls us to partner with him in what he's doing on the planet. And partner with him in reaching other people. And partner with him in reaching our city, our communities, our families. He wants to bring change, and he wants to bring change using us to do it. So you too can be a hero in the story we live every day. And have you ever found in those movies where some of the most defining moments, some of the most defining moments in that hero's part is during the training and not necessarily the battle? Have you ever noticed that? The picture I get is in Captain America. My wife and I are into superhero movies or Marvel movies. It could be because, you know, we have a little kid now, and we're like, I might be a superhero in his eyes one day. Shh. Don't tell him I'm just a regular guy that sings really high notes. Don't say that. But this picture I get in my head of this defining moment is when, in Captain America, he gets, this little scrawny dude gets thrown in the tube, and the tube lights up, and he's like, ah! And they're like, shut it down, he's dying. And he's like, no, I can do it. I can do it. And we're like, all right, full power, here you go, bud. And what happens? He comes out and he's just like macho man. Like, where do I get a tube? I want a tube. I can do it too. See, these characters, they have to reach and dig deeper to this new level of strength or courage or skill or whatever it might be in order to go and accomplish what it is that they need to go do, in order to become prepared for what's to come. And you can even see it in Jesus' life when he was sent out into the wilderness with no food and no water. And he got hungry, and he was sent there to be tempted by the devil. I get hangry. I don't know about you guys. If I had no food and water for 40 days, I would be rough shape. But that's a moment where Jesus had to dig deeper into the Lord and deeper into what he had been called to do in order to pass through that. Or even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's praying to the Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. If there's any other way to do this, I'd love to do it, but not my will, your will be done. It's not my will. Father, this is going to be hard, and I can see it. This is going to be difficult to do, and I can see it, but your will be done. See, in life, we come to points where we will be faced with a fork in a road. I found we get to these areas, we have a fork in the road, and we can choose to follow the leading into the depths of our hearts and souls or stay the course as we are. We can follow God's leading into the depths of our hearts and souls, or we can stay the course as we are. So let's take a look at a conversation Jesus had with some of his followers about this fork in the road. If you have a Bible and you want to turn to Matthew 16, we'll start in verse 21. If you don't have a Bible, that's awesome. We're going to have it up on the screen. In Matthew 16, verse 21, it says this. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said. This will never happen to you. Peter's going, no way, man. You're the Christ. You're the Savior. There's no way. No. And Jesus turned to Peter and said this, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. If any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must give up your own way. Jesus is saying, guys, following me is more than just a new set of beliefs, a new set of values, or a new set of rules. We need to be willing and allow Jesus to change and reshape who we are. We need to be willing to allow him to reshape our desires, our passions, our identity, our character, our perspective. See, we're talking about surrender. We're talking about laying it all down, every bit of it, every part of our life, in order that we may see his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Laying it all down in love for what he had done for us. I think this scene can play out in our lives whenever we're brought to something that God might want to do inside of our own hearts. I think first something will prick us or offend us, or we'll become aware of a thought pattern that we have, right? Something will remind us of something our parents did way back in our childhood, and we'll be like, oh, that makes me uncomfortable. Or we fail at something, we go, man, why is it always that I end up doing that? Why do I always think this way about whatever it might be? And I see that as when Jesus is saying something that we don't necessarily like hearing. Secondly, we feel that hurt associated with it. Or we see how difficult it may be to change how we think. It may be to change a habit that we have formed in our life. It may be difficult to change something inside of us. And that's Peter rebuking Jesus. There's no way. And then we'll start to rationalize and validate ourselves and excuse us as to why we are who we are. Or we'll jump ship early and settle and never get to the part where we say, "Get behind me, Satan." Or if we do, we'll only get the words halfway out. "Get behind me, Satan. Get back here, back of the bus." But see, everything in life that's going to be worth something is going to be uphill. Everything in life that's worth something is going to be uphill. John Maxwell says in his leadership teachings that we have uphill hopes, but downhill habits. That we have uphill hopes, but downhill habits. We want to see success, but we procrastinate. We want more time to read and more time to maybe spend in the Word or more time to do some studying and some personal development, but we just cannot miss what happens on Chicago Wednesday. It's exciting. For my wife and I, it's Manifest. I don't know if you watch Manifest. It's pretty intense. But we want more time to do things, but we end up doing something else. We want more money in our account, but we just cannot get enough of that grande iced Americano with caramel and a splash of cream. I don't know about you. That is, oh. I'm going to slide that on the table and leave that right there for y'all. But you can see these are just some of the ideas. We have these uphill hopes. We want to do things, but we have downhill habits. And John Maxwell goes on and says that every day, moment by moment, we have to have an intentional awareness of what we're doing and why we're doing it. Because to continue towards these uphill hopes, the downhill habits will slide us backwards. And one day of downhill habits, he says, will negate an entire 2-3 days of the uphill hopes and striving for it. We have to pay attention to what we're doing. We have to seek after these things and do the hard thing. Sometimes things can change in us miraculously. And it's amazing when that happens. Just overnight, something different. You wake up different. I've found, at least in my life, God leads us to paths where we have to choose to walk down. I've found in my life the miraculous overnight, I wake up and I have more hair on my head. And I mean, this did not happen yesterday to today. This is care. This is time. This is sitting with my back hurting in front of a thing. God leads us to paths that we have to choose to walk down until we reach the end. And choosing to go down those paths, doing the work that God has put in front of us, until it's completed, is the difference between a faith that is practically lived out and a faith that is purely about the things we say we believe. Because there's a lot of exits to get off that road, and a lot of opportunities the enemy will give us to jump ship and to get behind me. Mm-hmm. And not, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a threat to me." I would say that sometimes picking up your cross and following would be going down roads you don't want to go down or doing things you don't want to do in order to become more like Christ. We can't just acknowledge our failures or our bad habits. We can't just acknowledge our bad attitudes or mindsets or thinking and take our failings and failures and become settled and comfortable in this state of yuck and gook. And I think, at least I know for myself, I think sometimes I'll struggle to change because when I'm deep down, I dig in there and I'm honest, I've fallen in love or find meaning in the pain and discomfort that I feel because it's been something I've been living in for so long. Or something that I've been so blind to. I find that I'm fallen in love with this meaning and find meaning in this pain or discomfort, and I can't begin to see what it would be like to live without it. We may have fallen in love with being a victim or a martyr. My wife and I were listening to a podcast. She is incredible and super organized, and she's an event planner. So, like, she's the kind of gal that on Christmas she gets like a calendar, some stationery, and some pens, and is just giddy. Like, glitter is bursting out of her ears. She's so excited. Like, "We are going to be so organized this year. It's going to be fantastic." And I've always been a little bit more like, "Don't schedule my time. Let's be a little more free-spirited about this," kind of a thing. But we were listening to this podcast about organization, obviously, and minimalism. And one of the things the lady says was, routines are not difficult to make. What it is that we've fallen in love with what we're doing. Routines are not difficult to change and do something in. It's that there's something inside of us that we've fallen in love with of the situation that we're in when it comes to routines. And I'm not necessarily the greatest at getting up in the morning, and that just pricked me right in the soul, man. Like, Drew, you've fallen in love with the rush of having to rush to get ready. Right? That's exactly what I was like, haha. Oh, shoot. She's right. There's something inside of me that likes that. And I realized, that's not good. I can't do that forever. I can't constantly be living on the edge of like, oh, I got 5 minutes. I got 10 minutes of things to do and 7 minutes of to do it. Like, that's, I've fallen in love with that rush. We can fall in love with these things that are not necessarily healthy for us or not necessarily good for us. And we don't even realize it. But the Lord will prick us. And I'll say, hey, what about this? Hey, what about that? Living in that pain and discomfort and becoming comfortable with it, that's not the life that Jesus wants for us. That is not the life that Jesus wants for us. He wants to move us into a place of freedom. He wants to move us past acknowledgement and acceptance of who we are, which is important. He loves you exactly where you are, as you are, and he died and saved you for who you are right now. But he loves you so much that he wants to bring you past that. He wants to bring us past that place of acknowledgement and into a place of acceptance and freedom where we're lighter than a feather. And it's every time we walk outside, it's like that breath of fresh air that, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? My family is from New Hampshire, way up north. And there's the White Mountains up there, Mount Washington, Adams. We have the presidential range. And I get this picture when we were hiking in the mountains, and you come out, and you're in the trees, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I can't see anything going on. And you come out on top, and the wind just hits you in the face. Have you ever done that? You come up on a hill, or it's like silent, 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 silent. All of a sudden, you start cresting that hill, and the wind is just like, and you're like, whoa. That is some fresh air. You know, you're out of the smog, you're out of the car exhaust, you're out of the different things, and you go, wow, I can breathe lighter up here. I can breathe easier up here. That's the place that Jesus wants to bring us to. That's the place he wants to go, but we have to climb the mountain to get there. We have to go through the woods to get there. We have to cross through the thorns to get there. We have to go down roads that are bumpy in order to get there and do hard things. It's like this. My wife and I just had our first son. His name is Landon. Can you show that first picture? I know, right? I do that every morning I wake up. He is adorable. He's going to be 6 months old on January 9th. He was born a month early and has been the greatest, oh my Lord, I need to go to the hospital moment of my entire life. He's sweet. He's quiet, which I never saw that coming because I'm not quiet. And he's so attentive. I mean, he stares at you, and he looks like he's mad at you, but I think he's just, like, reading you. You know what I mean? Like, he's paying attention to every little thing that's going on. He's amazing. But the thing is Landon has eczema. And he's got eczema pretty bad. Can you show the next picture? Some days are worse than others, but he's okay. We have things that can manage it. But this is a picture where you can see we woke up, and it was a rougher day. His cheeks are bright red. I mean, bright red. There's moments while he's asleep that the irritation and the eczema will wake him up as he's sleeping because he's trying to relieve the itch by scratching. And he's trying to relieve the itch and get rid of this. Now, I've learned that eczema is basically super dry skin, like super dry skin. And we can manage his symptoms. We can relieve his symptoms through adding Vaseline or all like the Aquaphor baby stuff. And every time he gets a flare-up, you rub it down, you do it, and you're managing the symptoms, and you can help ease the pain. I mean, heck, I have not needed chapstick all year. All I need to do is just kiss his head, and I'm like, here we go. Ready to rock. Come at me, cold. We got this. But the real issue is not dry skin. The real issue is that there's things in his environment that cause the trash, the rash. I mean, it is trash. There's things in his environment, what we washed his clothes with at first, irritated his skin. When I don't dust my house, it irritates his skin. See, the problem wasn't actually the problem. The problem was what his environment was doing, which we fixed those things, by the way. I wash my clothes differently now. I'm a cleaner person. We're taking care of it. But if all we ever paid attention to, if all we ever did was focus on the symptoms that he had and the rash and apply creams, we would never fix the issue. All we would do is just help him develop really, really good coping mechanisms and really, really good habits and pain relievers so he doesn't have to deal with the itch for like an hour. But if we go down to the root and we go down to the source, okay, I need to change the detergent I'm using. Okay, I need to vacuum more often. Okay, I need to make sure his bed sheets stay clean. If we go down to the source, then we can start actually fixing issues and bringing health and wholeness. The same thing happens in our own hearts and our own minds when we allow Jesus into the areas of ourselves that need attention. He wants to go down and dig into beyond the surface problem that I have fits of anger, that I struggle with telling the truth, that I am constantly ridden with anxiety. He wants to go beyond the surface issue and go down into the parts of us and says, hey, this is what's causing your symptoms. Let's work on that. Let's heal this. Would you come down into this place and heal this? Would you let me down in here? And when we don't, we end up developing really good coping mechanisms and habits in areas of our lives. These coping mechanisms and habits in order to develop and find acceptance, in order to find love or happiness that is freely available in him if we let him in and we surrender those things to him and we surrender it. We give it up. We go, Lord, it's yours. Take it. Jesus calls us into a great, wide hope and future with him. In Matthew 11, it says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear. And the burden I give you is light. He's saying, come all of you who carry stress or anxiety or fear or the weight of needing to prove your worth or the weight of having to try and earn love, or come all those who are tired of trying to become better under your own power, come. Take my yoke, it's easy, and my burden is light. As I close, I think we all walk around with a little bit of spiritual eczema. I know I do. When Landon was born, man, the Lord started this deconstruction inside of me of who I thought I was. And I was having feelings I literally did not have the vocabulary to explain. And I've had to dig in there and go, okay, God, what is it? Show me why I do this. What's my motive behind that? And a lot of it wasn't fun to hear. A lot of it wasn't on the onset encouraging to hear. But even while I'm in it, I can see the Lord is wanting to move more. He's shaping and he's molding. And he's bringing more freedom than I could have ever tried to do by running with the same coping mechanisms and habits that I had. I think we all walk around with a little bit of spiritual eczema. Irritations in our life we try to take care of on our own. Things that will nurse along symptoms and create really good coping mechanisms or habits. Yet these issues are trying to wake us up. And they're trying to wake us up to those deeper things. And God wants to show us the real reason for that itch. I think for some, we may need to go home and ask ourselves or have someone close to us we trust. ask us questions like, to your significant other, how am I doing as a spouse or partner? How am I doing? Or to a close friend you trust, is there something you know about me that I don't know about me that I should know? They're hard questions to ask, but they're good. Or to yourself, what actionable steps am I taking to correct the areas God has shown me that I need some work? Can I name those steps? Please hear me. I'm not trying to make anyone feel unworthy of love or like you're messed up. I'm right there with you. I'm on the operating table myself in my life. But I do know that Jesus loves you exactly where you are, exactly as you are. He wants you for you. And he loves you so much that he's willing to bring these things up so he can pull us out of it and into that wide open freedom, that mountaintop breath of fresh air that he wants to give us in each of our lives. And I think for others, all we need to say is, God, yes, I hear you. I hear you. I know what's been itching me because I'm thinking about it, and I'm willing to walk down this road with you until it's finished. I'm not going to get off the next exit. I'm not going to get off in four exits down. I'm going to the end of the highway. He is for you and not against you. Choosing to go down roads and do difficult things, do hard things, is daunting at first, but it's one of the best things and the best choices we could ever make. Because when the Lord is leading us to those places, it'll bring more freedom and more hope in our lives than we could have done on our own. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good. Lord, you are wonderful. I just feel like there needs to be, for those who know the Lord speaking to them, for if you've heard Jesus, I feel like there needs to be a response. Whether you raise your hand or you just make eye contact with me, I feel like we need to go, yes, Lord, I hear you. If that's you, if you just pick your hand up, go, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. I'll walk down that road. I'll do the hard thing I need to do. I'll explore old hurts, bad memories, because I want you, Jesus. I see you. Father, you are so good. Lord, I thank you for these who have said yes. And God, I ask that you would give them the courage and the strength to do hard things, to have the openness of heart and mind, to have you reach down and bring their true self to surface. Lord, would you bless the journey? Would you bring encouragement on the journey? Would you give discernment to know when you speak and to know what truth is? Lord, bring freedom, bring revival in this place, Lord. May we lay it down to see your kingdom come. May we fall deeper in love with you. Lord, you are so good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Drew. Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. Can we stand on our feet? I want us to sing together, and I sense that the Lord's going to lead us into just a time of response here, but I want to just sing for a moment here and just allow our hearts to just kind of worship him for a moment. Can we do that?
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you all. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour.
You know, again, Drew, I really just so thank you for that message this morning. And I, in fact, right before Drew came, someone came to me and gave me just a vision, just a picture that God had put in their hearts. And they said they just saw pictures of houses that were just aglow, that were like, that there was just a fire, you know, just inside of them that were causing these houses to glow. And it just so resonated with me that even what, you know, we're going to talk about next week as we have Resolution Sunday, we're going to come and I'm going to share kind of a word that I believe God's given our church, and we're going to have opportunity to kind of reflect, write ourselves a letter. If you've done this in the last couple of years, you're going to get that letter back later on in the year and just see and be reminded of what you were praying and even what God was saying to you. But again, this picture, this vision of houses aglow, to me represents people who have surrendered, people who have made this decision to say, God, I'm surrendering some things, and I'm making the decision to do the hard thing, to lay some things down so that you can do something to me. And when I see that picture of houses aglow and fires that are burning inside of them, you know what? I was a kid that grew up with a wood stove in our house. And so every year around October, November, there came this time where we'd have to chop wood. And we'd have to stack wood, meaning not we, I would have to chop wood and I would have to stack wood, cords and cords of wood every fall. And because I had sisters, I was the one that bore the most of that labor. I tell my kids who have their nice little thermostat with the temperature, you have it easy, you know. If the house gets cold, you just hit the little arrow up, you know. I had to go out and chop more wood. You know, I guess I'm starting to sound like an old man dad, right? Back in my day when I was a kid. But you know, to do hard things, if you want the fire, if you want all that God has for you, and for me, the fire aglow in a house, you know, and in our church and in our community, it means that there are people like us that have made the decision to do the hard work of chopping wood and giving God some kindling that he could ignite with the fire of his presence. But it means that we've got to make the decision to deal with even some of the little things. And because sometimes we hear a message like this, and sometimes it could be something of a real practical nature. It could be finances for some that you're saying, you know, I want to see breakthrough in my finances, but, you know, and so I've got to make some decisions, some changes in my budget. Others, it may be in a business that I need to make some steps in this business or this vision, this dream for a ministry that I have. But others, can I tell you, sometimes, you know what the hard thing is going to be? It's going to be changing that bad attitude. It's going to be making a covenant with your lips to not speak negative things over one another, but it's going to be about speaking life over another. And it's making this decision to say, God, do a radical work in me, transform my heart and mind so that I can begin to see others differently and see you differently and see circumstances differently. And so, God, I'm going to do the hard work of spending time with you so that that can happen. And so for each of us, it's going to be something different. But what I want to do here, we have just a couple more minutes here, and before we receive offering and we do all that, I want us to make this a time where we can really let this be a moment of decision. We're not even done with this year. We can start to get ahead of it, right? I love this. I'm a planner, so you know I can identify with this story there. But I want us to just, sing this through another couple of times, and I want us to just have a moment in God's presence where we can just kind of pray, and I'm not going to draw attention to anyone or anything, but I want this to be a moment where if you would recognize this morning that you want to see something ignited in your life and in your family and in your home and in the community, if you want to see God's presence show up and begin to bring something to life that would just glow with his presence, with the fire of his presence, and you'd say, God, I'm hungry for that. That this morning, what I want you to do is if you'd be saying, God, I'm willing to do that hard thing, that first of all, maybe you already know what it is, but maybe even over the next moment or two as we sing, maybe you'd say, God, show me what that is that you want me to do. What's the hard thing? And as you get that, and as you would acknowledge, God, I'm ready to do that, I want you to just move out from where you are, move into the aisles. You can even come down front if you want, but I want us to just step out from where we are, because doing hard things means that you've got to be willing to take some steps. And so I want us to practically, I want us to get our bodies and move into that place and say, God, I'm positioning myself before you so that you can show up and ignite something in my life. So you can bring your presence in my life in that way. And so so let's begin to sing. And if that's you, I want you to just move out from where you are as we sing.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, Lord. And great are you, Lord.
Thanks.
Oh. And great.
If you could just, if you have someone near you there, can you just put your hand on their shoulder there? And I want us to just begin praying over one another. Even if you're standing out here, I want you to be praying as well. Let's be praying just for a moment here. Let's just begin to pray over one another. Before I lead us in prayer, just begin to pray over those around you right now. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray your grace over them. Lord, we pray your peace over them. We pray, Father God, give them strength. Hallelujah, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for modeling for us what it looks like to do hard things. That Jesus, you came to this earth, Lord God in the flesh, so that you could identify with the pain and the brokenness of this world. While never sinning, you faced temptation and you dug deep, as we heard this morning, Lord, and you did it for us, Lord, and you did it to accomplish God's kingdom come, the Father's heaven, the Father's will in heaven to bring it here on earth. And Lord, with this morning, we pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come and your will be done, Lord, in each and every one of these lives. Lord, we pray for the one on our right and our left. Lord, we pray, Lord, let your kingdom be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done in their lives. Lord, we pray that your peace, Lord, would come, Lord, and prevail over whatever anxiousness, whatever brokenness, whatever resistance, even opposition that they faced over this last season. Lord, we pray, God, in these days, Lord, that you would give them the courage and the wisdom, Lord, and you would even give them the roadmap, Lord, that you would give them the divine roadmap, Lord, to begin walking in your good and perfect will. Lord, that you would begin to give them discernment to know what it is that you would want them to surrender before you so that they could, so that the hard things that you would have them to do so that they could experience, Lord, the fullness of your presence showing up and leading them into your glorious will and your purposes, Lord, that to lead them into wholeness in their family, to lead them into wholeness in their marriage, to lead them into breakthrough in their finances or in their business. Lord, we pray, God, that you would bless them, Lord, in every way, Lord, and that you would give them, again, the wisdom of heaven, Lord, so that they could stay aligned with you, Lord, that they could even learn to hear your voice more clearly along the way and respond to you, Lord, so they wouldn't have to learn the hard ways, but instead that they could do the hard things now and enter into, Lord, your great purposes. And so, Lord, we just speak life over them. We speak blessing over them. We thank you, Lord, that the promises of yours, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. It won't work. That you are victorious. And Lord, we thank you for the promise we read in your word as well, that where we see in the Old Testament that you went and you fought the battle for your people. Lord, we thank you that you are fighting battles for us right now in the heavenly realms. That there are some things that for some of us over this last season, we're so worn out because we've been trying to fight the battle in our own strength. And we thank you that right now, Lord, even in these moments of surrender, Lord, that what's happening is we're laying down our weapons and that you're picking up yours and you're going before us and you're going to lead us into victory. So we thank you for victory, Lord, in each and every one of these situations, Lord, each and every one of these lives. In Jesus' name, we give you praise this morning. Can we just say amen and lift a shout to heaven and say amen? Hallelujah, God. You are good.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.